along comes Satan in the form of a snake, and he challenges the woman. Did God really say? And he starts with deceit, and then he goes on to doubt, and that causes disobedience. Three D's there to remember. But interestingly, do you know, and I've read this story time and time again, and it wasn't till recently that I read in verse 3, it says, but God did say, you must not eat of the fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. She doesn't even say what it is. You must not touch it or you will die. Is that interesting? I'd not read that before. You mustn't even touch it or you will die. And I think that's about temptation. You know, sometimes we just get too close to temptation and we touch it and then we get drawn into it. So I think it's a bit of a warning to stay, not just don't touch it, but not eat it. Just don't even touch it. Don't even go there. So that's just something interesting that occurred to me as I was reading this. Don't even get close to temptation. Because, as we will see, it has all sorts of terrible consequences for Adam and Eve and the whole of humanity after that. So Adam eat the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and suddenly they are aware of good and evil, which they weren't before. And they then are feeling shame and fear. And they hide. They're hiding from God. And so God asks this question. Where are you? So can we have the next slide, please? Why did Adam hide? That is a good question, isn't it? Why did Adam hide? Well, recently we had our grandchildren. We've got five grandchildren. And they were in our house. And Annabelle, who's 8, and Penelope, who's 4, to the two little girls out of the five, they love to play hide and seek in our house, which is great. Now, Annabelle, because she's 8, tends to find some very difficult places to hide. And Penelope, who's 4, is like, I don't know where she is, Nanny, where is she? And she hides in cupboards and she hides under beds. And P, who's only 4, can't find her. But actually, she wants to be found. Now, Adam and Eve were hiding, but they didn't want to be found. They didn't want to be discovered by God as he came walking in the garden in the cool of the day. So rather than joining God for fellowship, which was their normal practice and delight, they hid from him. Now, they knew that they couldn't avoid him, but they still tried to hide. And if we just turn to, can we have the next one, please? Please ignore the Jeremiah reference. I have just looked that up and it is a mistake. I'm not sure where that came from. We'll ignore that one. In Psalm 139, which is a well-known psalm, Adam and Eve, even though the psalms weren't written then, they knew this about God because they had a close personal relationship with God. And they knew in Psalm 139, verse 7, it says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. You see, the psalmist knew that there was nowhere that he could go from God's presence. And Adam and Eve actually knew that, but they tried to hide anyway. They were compelled to try. Why? Because they now, you might say to me, well, they'd eaten the fruit of the tree and they had the knowledge of good and evil. Yes, they did. But Adam is only too aware now that he's got the knowledge of good and evil that he has disobeyed God in a big way. And he now is experiencing two things that he has never experienced before. One of them is guilt and one of them is shame. Up until this point, he's never experienced guilt and shame. So you imagine the turmoil that's in his soul, the turmoil that is within him. He's sinned, he's broken the one command that God had given them, and something had radically changed. So Adam and Eve, they hid, it tells us, among the trees of the garden. So what are some of the trees that we try and hide behind with God? You know, we know that we've disobeyed or we've offended God, so we try to hide. What do we hide behind? Busyness? That's a good one. If you get busy enough, you can avoid God. Busyness, excuses, like Adam and Eve. Oh, it wasn't me. It was her. What wasn't? And she said, it wasn't me, it was the snake. We avoid meeting with other fellow Christians because it might make us feel guilty or ashamed. We stop having our quiet time. We stop praying. We stop reading our Bible. These are all things we hide behind to try and avoid meeting with God. And we need to be aware of those things. We need to ask God to show us. So let's have the next question. So I think we've worked out why Adam hid. So why does God ask Adam this question? It wasn't because he didn't know where Adam and Eve were. Of course he knew, because God is omnipresent. He's everywhere at once. And he's omniscient. He's all-knowing. So he knew where they were. So why ask the question? Well, it was an invitation to Adam and Eve to be honest and come out and confess. But instead, they played the blame game. And don't we do the same sometimes? God's going, where are you? Where are you? And we try and ignore him or avoid him. It was an invitation to come out of hiding and to live again in that personal relationship with God, to be restored. And it was God's initiative. You know, in the garden, Adam and Eve never sought that reconciliation with God. It was always on God's part. And I love the songs that Samuel chose today about God's faithfulness. Because even in the face of Adam and Eve's sin, God was faithful, wasn't he? He was faithful in seeking them out and saying, come out of hiding. Come, stop all that busyness. Come and meet with me. And a little while ago, I was reading that story of, you know, when Jesus meets the disciples on the beach after he's been crucified and resurrected. And he's got things to tell them, but he just says, come and have breakfast with me. I think sometimes God is saying to us, you've drifted away. You've done things wrong. But do you know, I'm faithful. I love you. Come and have breakfast with me. Come and meet with me. Stop avoiding me. So God asks us the same question, where are you? And the truth is that it says in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've all done things that fracture that beautiful relationship. And maybe we're still trying to hide parts of our lives from God in the vain hope that he won't discover them. Sometimes, you know, we let him into the hall of our lives or the living room, but you're going, God, you're not coming in the cellar. I've got too much rubbish in there. Are we letting God into the whole of our lives? God's question demanded an answer. They couldn't avoid it. It's not like sometimes you see these detective programs on the television, you know, and they're interviewing the criminal, the suspect, and they sit there and they go, no comment, no comment, no comment. Every question, that isn't an option with God. You can't just stand there and go, no comment. Well, you can, but that will never bring about a reconciliation into that close and personal relationship with God. So God asks this question so that Adam could and Eve could be restored, come clean, be honest. And he asks the same question for the same reason. He doesn't want us to hide from him. So, another question. Where is Adam? Now, come on, Pauline, that's a stupid question, because he was hiding. We've already established that. Yes, but he was still in the Garden of Eden. He hadn't been thrown out yet. That doesn't come later later on in the chapter. He was still in Eden. There was still this opportunity for reconciliation, but he blows it. Eden felt like a very different place, even though he's physically in the same place, and we can be physically in this building, but we can be miles away from God. In the space of three verses, the whole relationship between God and humanity had been radically changed. Perfect communion to separation. But on the other hand, God's love and faithfulness remained unchanged. And all God's plans for the future were to restore this communion and intimacy. So, where am I with God today? Where are you with God? Let's move on to the being covered. With the next slide. Fig leaves or animal skins? Well, Adam and Eve got fig leaves and they covered themselves, but they were not adequate. And their fig leaves are a bit like sometimes the good works that we do. We try and think, well, you know, if I've done something wrong, maybe if I do some good stuff, it'll balance it out. That doesn't work with God. We need to confess our sin and be put right with God. In Ephesians, it says, Ephesians 2, and we've got the next one, please. Oh. Yeah. Ephesians chapter 2, it says, "For it is by grace that you've been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do." We can't save ourselves with fig leaf good works. We can't. So what had to happen in order for Adam and Eve's sin to be dealt with? God made coverings of animal skins. An animal had to be killed in order for those skins to be made. There was a sacrifice, and it says in Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. So God covered Adam and Eve with skins from an animal whose blood had been shed for them. And of course, this points the way so magnificently and so clearly to Jesus, whose life was given to cover our sin. So right back there in the Garden of Eden, we're given an indication of God's future plan. In Ephesians, I'm just going to turn to, can we have the next one? Yeah, Ephesians chapter 1. It says this, Ephesians 1 verse 7, it says this, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding." And in Colossians chapter 1, similarly, it says, "But now he has reconciled, God has reconciled you by Christ's physical death through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established firm, not moving from the hope held out by the gospel." Adam and Eve were clothed with a garment that was purchased with the life of another. And we're clothed with the garments of righteousness purchased the life of Jesus Christ. The shedding of his blood covers all our sin, and it's because of his sacrifice that we can stand before God clothed not in animal skins but in Jesus' righteousness. But it does say in that passage that we just said, we need to continue in our faith. Yes, we still sin, and Jesus has paid the price for our sin, but we still need to come back to God in repentance and honesty. So, this morning, can we move on, please, to the next one? Being more open to God. I think the challenge this morning is about each one of us examining our hearts and being more open with God. Consider this question. Where are you? Are you near God? Or do you feel that you've drifted away? Has COVID really, really affected your relationship with God? For some people, it's drawn people closer to God because of dependence on him. But for some of us, it's been so tough, and it's been lonely, and there's been grief, and there's been heartache, and somehow that's driven us away from that intimate place with God. You need to come back close to God. Let's be honest with him. Examine our hearts. And just a couple of passages to finish with as we... And I just want us to have a little bit of quiet to just think about this. Again, in Psalm 139, it says, at the end of the psalm, it says, "Search me." This I think should be our prayer this morning. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts." Many of us will have anxious thoughts. "See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." It's an invitation for God to search us. And in James chapter 4, it says, "Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you." So the fresh invitation from God this morning to come and just open up our hearts to him again. I think it'd be good just to have a couple of minutes of quiet in case if there are things that God's really sort of touched your heart this morning. You thought, yeah, I really need to get that sorted out with God. I'm going to make a start this morning. And as I was preparing this, I did feel there might be somebody here who's got a habit that they really, really want to break. And God knows all about it anyway, but he wants to give you the strength to begin that journey of breaking that habit. I don't know what it is, but I just felt for somebody, it might be more than one person, there's a habit that you really, really want to break, and God's highlighted that to you this morning. And somebody else, and this might be more than one person, who you feel just not up to the job, and you just are like, I don't know, I had some things that and they were past their sell-by date, so I had to throw them out. And it's like somebody here is feeling like you're past your sell-by date and God can't use you. And God says, "I want to restore you. I want to use you." And it may be for the holiday club next week. I don't know. But you are definitely not past your sell-by date. So let's just have those 2 minutes of quiet. Father God, come and search our hearts afresh this morning. Thank you, Lord, that as you search our hearts, as we give you permission to search our hearts, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The Lord does not come to condemn, but he comes to convict. And it says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Father God, for your love, for your compassion, for your endless grace and mercy poured into our lives. And Lord, as we walk into next week, we pray that we will not hide from you. We will not try to avoid you. But Lord, this will be an encouragement today to draw close to you, submit to you, resist the devil, and draw near to our God. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jenny.